following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And, you know, it's really good to be back. Erica and I were away last week. We took a week for U.S. Thanksgiving and went down to Bakersfield, California, which is only sort of California. It's like in the state, but it's not like all of the other exciting parts of California that you hope for when you go to California. But, you know, it was warm-ish, and it was nice to be with family. We spent the time with Erica's parents and her sister and brother-in-law and our nephew, Maddox. And, you know, he's at that age where he kind of has a personality, and so he was begging for dessert. He was saying more, more, more. He was saying, please. Every once in a while, he'd say, thank you. And it was really fun. But it's great to be back. It's good to be home and wonderful to be with you this morning. And you know, I wish that I had like an exciting story to share, like, you know, some great thing to grab onto that really illustrates stuff. But we sat around and watched sports and played with Maddox. So there's not like, you're not going to hear some rousing thing that happened to us down in Bakersfield. But just know that it was wonderful. It was needed for Erica and I. It was like the first trip that the two of us had together that wasn't work related for one of us this fall. And so nice to just vacation. And it was good. So, from what I heard last week, Tim Fredheim did a wonderful job of sort of pairing the Christ the King Sunday, which was actually the previous week, with the beginning of the Advent season and looking at an Ezekiel text. And like I said a couple weeks ago, as we were finishing up the book of James, I really love this Advent season. I love the texts that go along with Advent. I love the lighting of the Advent candles. I love the anticipation that builds as we get closer and closer to Christmas. Can anyone remember back to last year? I know that's a long time ago, and you probably don't necessarily remember what text we did 2 weeks ago, but can anyone remember what we were looking at last Advent season? It's one of the four Gospels. You have a 1 in 4 shot.
Matthew.
No. You're close. The other one that starts with M. Mark, that's right. We're looking at the book of Mark. We're going through Mark chapter 1. And if you'll remember, Mark's gospel is actually the one that jumps right into the life of Jesus. It doesn't do the story of the birth of Jesus. It is John the Baptist, then it's the baptism of Jesus, and then the ministry of Jesus and the calling of the disciples. And so we wanted to take the time last year to really talk about who Jesus is. Who is this gift that we are receiving in the Advent season? Who is it that we are anticipating coming? And it was the emphasis on the gift that is given to us by God. And so this year, I want us to kind of switch that a little bit, and we're going to look at the giver. We're going to look at God, the one who gives the gift of Jesus, the one who sends his Son to us. So I'm going to pray for us, and we'll dive into the Word together. So God, we come to this season in anticipation. Anticipation of what you will do in us and through us. Anticipation for how your Holy Spirit will move us. In anticipation for how we will discover new ways that you show us your love. And in anticipation, most of all, for your Son, Jesus. And we pray all this in his name. Amen. So how many of us have received just a super cool gift? Like a gift that's just like really awesome. I know we're not very much the shout out things congregation, but let's give it a shot this morning. Are there things that like are just really awesome, just like a sweet gift that you've gotten?
Eternal life.
you're kind of killing, you know, what's going on, what's going to come, Ken? But I can't argue with that. All right, there we go. A pension chair. Nice. An electric bike. There we go. An engagement ring. All right. Yeah. A brand new saddle. A new person. No, you haven't. Not yet. For me, I'd put a set of golf clubs in that category. That was in the past, so they're not coming this year. A really awesome little Power Wheels Jeep that my brother and I got when we were just little guys. You know, the ones that it was red and, you know, it was a convertible, because why would you put a top on something like that? And it lasted for about 5 minutes. I love Legos. Legos are always in that for me. If you've been in my office, you've seen there's Legos from like the Sears Tower to little fire trucks and other things. My first iPod was really cool. Let's switch it a little bit. What are some of the most impactful things you've ever received? Ken. Yes. A birthday party. It's perfect. You know, these really special things, the things that really mean the most to us. And that list probably isn't always the same, right? It's not really for me. I mean, I love some of those things that I've gotten. But one of the most important, one of the most special gifts that I've received recently is hanging on my wall in my office. It's something that my dad gave me for ordination at the end of June. It's like a wall statue. It actually depicts with a bunch of little crosses the Last Supper. And it's really neat. You know, I asked him what the value was, because when you go over the border, you have to have some idea of that. And he's like, I don't know, like $10 or $20, something like that. But it had nothing to do with how much it was worth or what it was. It had everything to do with what it meant to me. It was something that hung on my dad's wall when he pastored the churches he was at. It was something that I saw every single time I went into his office. And it meant so much for him to give that to me, and for me to now see that hanging on my wall and see the connections between the ministry that he did, the ministry that I grew up in, and the ministry that I have the opportunity to do now. It's, you know, the kind of thing that I probably thought was cool regardless, because I kind of like that stuff. But it's special because of who my dad is, special because of who I am, special because of our relationship. And that's why I want us to learn about and really dig into who God is, who this giver is that's giving us the gift of Jesus this Advent season. Jesus Christ is the best gift ever. There's no denying that. There's no competing with that. But how much more do we get to understand that? Do we begin to see that when we get to know the giver of the gift, when we have a relationship with the giver? When we learn about how the giver cares for the recipients of that gift, for us. And so over these next few weeks, we're going to actually be looking primarily at Old Testament texts, Isaiah and 2 Samuel specifically. There's texts about who God is, texts about God's love for us, texts about preparation and anticipation, and texts that ultimately point us to the birth of Jesus. And so this morning, we're going to begin with Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11. So a little background first on the book of Isaiah. Chapter 40 begins what is often called 2nd Isaiah. So the first 39 chapters are generally attributed to the prophet Isaiah. And 2nd Isaiah, verses 40 through 55, are actually believed by many scholars to be the product of disciples of Isaiah who continued on his prophetic ministry after his death. And one of the big reasons for this understanding is that chapter 40 begins a significant change kind of in tone and in subject matter and in direction. It's where, when we have in verse 39 a message that speaks about impending exile to Babylon, to chapter 40 speaks about comfort to the future and comfort that will come in the future. And verses 1 through 11 have kind of some distinct messages, but overall focuses on who God is. And so we'll highlight kind of a few different things as we go throughout. So let's open up to Isaiah 40. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, either to keep or just to use this morning, feel free to raise your hand and an usher would be happy to bring you one. That's one of the great joys of our church family, to give the Word of God to those who desire it. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Isaiah 40 begins right away with good news. Comfort. Comfort my people. You've endured awful things. You've suffered far beyond what you deserve. But now God says, comfort. Good things are coming. God calls his messengers to deliver comfort. Comfort that is in the face of what has been just a terrible time. A time of pain, a time of anguish, a time of displacement. A time that has been filled with anything but comfort. Comfort. Comfort my people. And the question I think we have to answer as individuals, as a church family, as the church broadly today, is as we read this, who are we in this interaction? Are we just reading a specific interaction that was meant just for Israel in this time and place? Are these words God is delivering only to the Israelites in exile? Maybe. I tend to lean towards know that there's more in there for us than that. So then are we the church, are we the ones to be comforted? Are we the ones that God is declaring comfort for? Are we the ones who are coming out of a terrible time? A time of pain, a time of anguish and discomfort. Are we struggling with the world around us? Things we see, hear, read, experience. Are we having a tough time understanding where it is that God has brought us or sent us? Maybe. Or perhaps are we the ones that God is calling to deliver these words? Because we know and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, have a personal relationship with the living God. Is God making a declaration to us, to the church, regarding the role that we are meant to play in the world, especially in this Advent season? And does this season then lend itself perhaps more than any other time throughout the year to the church delivering comfort to those who desperately need it? Think about last night. We had our Christmas banquet, and we as a church took the opportunity to be messengers of comfort. We had a wonderful time of food, certainly, friends and family and fellowship and fun. There is the other F. I was thinking earlier, and I was like, I need one more F, and I couldn't get it, but I got it. You're welcome. You're welcome for the alliteration. But a wonderful program that pointed to Jesus, that pointed to God, that allowed us to worship God. We had the opportunity to comfort friends and family, to comfort the men who were here from the Realistic Success Recovery Society, and then also to provide comfort for families who are in our community here in South Surrey and White Rock who really have some desperate needs this season. There's comfort in the form of food, comfort in a program, comfort that clearly showed Jesus Christ, and comfort even in financial gifts. The season, I think it can be really easy and feel really good to read these words and hear these words as just a big hug from God for the church. Like, hey, you made it another year. Comfort, way to go. And you know what? There's room for that, right? There's room for us as the church to be comforted in the season. But we also know, and we certainly should know, that these words are meant as that hug from God, as words of comfort from God to all people, to all those who are hurting, who are alone, who are hungry, who are thirsty, who are cold, who are angry, and in all kinds of discomfort. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. These verses talk about a highway for God. Verses 3 through 5 describe a highway, a pathway that is being prepared for God's coming, a pathway perhaps for folks coming out of exile, for people to make their way from Babylon back to Israel. But there's significant preparation that needs to be done for that to happen. Similar to the ways that we prepare ourselves each time we come to the Lord's table, or each time we prepare ourselves for worship on a Sunday morning, to the ways that we prepare ourselves to walk with the Lord each and every day, there is an expectation and also a need to prepare ourselves in this season as well, for us to be preparing ourselves for the coming of Jesus. Perhaps there's repentance of sin. Perhaps we need to ask God's forgiveness for sin that is popping up in our lives in this season, or that has gone on all year and we're feeling convicted of it now. Maybe we simply need to make an invitation for God to be a part of our life in a new way. Maybe it's about reconciliation with someone we have had issues with. There is the need and the expectation for preparation as we await the coming of the Lord. And that word await, I feel like, is a little bit tricky, right? Because it's not just waiting. There's nothing about these verses 3 to 5 that talk about just sitting on our butts. Sorry, I'm saying butts. Waiting. There's doing the work of flattening the ground, of removing obstacles, of taking away the barriers that we have put in place between us and God, of making the way straight to God. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. And God continues words of comfort here in these verses. Verses that are often repeated week after week as folks read scripture together. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. That was my growing up in church. Every time after we read the gospel, we repeated those words together. That reminder that the word of God is forever. Not only is God enduring, even the word of God is enduring forever. Life is fleeting. Flowers fade, they fall. Grass withers. Dale is always excited for that time when mowing the lawn isn't necessary. But God isn't subject to that death and decay. The word of God is steady. It is consistent. It is faithful. It is forever. When we're in trouble, when we're hurting, we can take solace in the knowledge that the word of God is always there for us, that we meet God in the Bible, and that God offers us comfort just as his word does. And again, this is comfort that we can and should, that we must pass on and encourage others with as well. The promise of who God is and the promise of Jesus Christ. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Lift up your voice with a shout. Do not be afraid. Here is your God. And here's what God is all about. He tends his flock like a shepherd, gathers the lambs in his arms, and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Comfort. Comfort my people. The words of comfort are paired here with a great encouragement to share that comfort. The comfort from verse 1 is not something to be afraid of. It's not something to keep to ourselves, something that we go up on a high mountain and shout. And again, especially at this time of year, this is that time of year where we all know that loneliness can be almost overwhelming for some. The time of year where it can be hard for folks to see others who have close friends and have close family. It can be hard for people who have no warm bed, have no food, to see others eating huge dinners. And we all know that there are opportunities all over the place to deliver comfort, to shout out loud that comfort, and to share where that comfort comes from. This is the time of year where comfort for so many is desperately needed. And the words we read here in Isaiah are both a call and an encouragement for us to be the bringers of that comfort. Who can you bring comfort to today? Maybe a family member, maybe someone that just could hear your voice, and that would bring comfort. Who can you bring comfort to this week? Maybe a coworker, maybe a schoolmate. Who can you bring comfort to this season? How can you be a messenger of God's comfort? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the comfort you offer your people, for the encouragement, for the promise of your word, and the way that you care for us like a shepherd. Give us the courage to shout that promise from the mountaintop, especially in this season. God, help us to be your comfort to those we encounter in all areas of our lives. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.